It's the stuff. Slayer musk is bitter and aggravating.
We started about the attitude. What have you got? Piercing glance.
Homework? Oh, I don't believe in tiny Jewish Santa anymore.
If it wasn't for me, Giles would be a terrified old man staring at a quarterly tax statement and wetting himself.
She bathed you?
Only in an erotic penthousey way, not in a sponge bathy geriatric sort.
Please, stop. I beg of you.
Welcome to Yes, Mother, the podcast about the A&E show Bates Motel. But this week, we will be doing an episode of Sue Watches Buffy. And this week, Sue watched Shadow listening to fear into the woods. I'm Em.
I'm Sue. So, anyway.
Well, so, how you been?
I've been good. I'm...
Had some adventures last week?
Yes. Booker, our nephew Booker, and I went to the Salt Lake Comic Con Fan X and had, like, the most fantastic time ever. Like, seriously, we had such... It was just... magical. We had so much fun.
Good. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been to Comic Cons. I have not. All right. Feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Got ourselves some feedback.
So you want me to start with Harold's? Harold says, I just wanted to add a thought I had about Xander, but I had lost my train of thought when my daughter came in and was excited because she recognized that I was using some of her kindergarten words. That's cute.
That is so cute.
He says, I'm a little early sending this, but I just watched these episodes and wanted to write something while it was fresh in my mind. Spoilers below if you haven't seen them yet, Sue. Well, Harold, I never read the feedback till I've watched the episode.
That's a good practice.
Yes, never spoilers. These three episodes amp up the soap opera-y-ness of the season. When Joyce's illness as our main focus and Riley's feelings of inadequacy as a secondary storyline. The Joyce illness turned out to be a red herring, but it was one more stress point for Buffy, who already had college, slaying, and the burden of protecting her sister from Glory, who looks to be a very formidable opponent. How can she handle all these things? Obviously, she couldn't balance everything and maintain a relationship with Riley.
Riley's very needy.
He is. Ugh. As this is my second watch, I am able to put aside my dislike for the Riley character and see that both he and Buffy have contributed to the end of their relationship. She was ignoring him well before her mother's illness, perhaps, as Xander said, taking him for granted. She could have leaned on him more during her mother's illness. Clearly, she did not have the same passion for him that she had for Angel.
Which Dawn keeps pointing out.
I know. And I can see why he would be curious to experience the darkness that Buffy seems to be fascinated by. On the other hand, Riley showed a lack of maturity and self-awareness by continuing to expect to be first and foremost in Buffy's mind, even when she has all these other things going on. And by his inability to deal with being inferior to her when it comes to being an action hero, And of course, there's the fact that he left Buffy lying in bed to go out and pay for a suck job.
A Buffy style suck job.
Oh, wow. You make it sound so dirty. But yeah, I don't know. I still blame Riley for a lot of the inadequacies and not...
Well, one, you can't blame someone for not loving someone as much as that person loves you. I just can't blame Buffy for that. She may think she does, and she seems shocked whenever he brings it up. But bottom line is she doesn't. And you can't blame her for that. You can kind of blame her for thinking she does and getting all incensed when he points it out.
Right. But no, you're right. I mean...
We feel how we feel.
We feel how we feel. And she made a good point. She's like... This is the package. I am who I am.
She's the Slayer. She's the only... Well, there's Faith, too. But she's got a sacred duty. And it... Yeah, and that is her package. And...
Right. And
he said he was signed up for it. He loved all of her. He loved her how she was. Just, you know, in the replacement. It was the last time I think he said that.
Right.
She's exactly how he wants her, and he's okay with it.
Yep, I called bullcrap.
You did,
that.
And I did too.
You know, because which you can understand. I mean, not a lot of guys can handle that strong of a woman.
You know what? Totally. And I may
don't pretend that you can.
Yes,
and then throw it back in her face.
Yeah. And, you know, I might be a little more sympathetic to his character than I might have sounded while we discussed, because it's hard. And I get it. It's frustrating, and he does love her, and she's just not quite all the way there for him. But, and I get that.
Right.
And I feel bad for him, but he does not come across very sympathetic still.
He doesn't. He really doesn't, because he learned fairly early on in the relationship who she was. You know, it's not like they were together for a year or two and then he found out she was a Slayer. You know, it was pretty quick that he learned.
And at that point, he had some sort of superpower himself, but she still was stronger.
True.
And she still felt stronger. Like she had to hold back. And he still had issues with it. He's had issues with it since he found out.
He has.
And that's fine, but...
So...
To be okay with it, you're right. To be okay with it, say you're okay with it, and then throw it back in her face. Uh-uh.
No, that's not cool. I don't think that's cool at all. Because that's just... You're being more manipulative than... I don't know. You're not being honest.
Right.
And he's like telling her, I don't know. It. Boo. Just boo. Okay. So he says, here's one example where both of them contributed to Joyce nearly being killed by the Queller demon. Had Buffy kept Riley more involved, maybe he would have been doing the dishes or other chores while she was looking after her mom. And if he wasn't so excited to be back with the military outfit, leading a mission instead of being with his girlfriend during this trying time, he would have been with her instead of Spike.
Yeah, well... True. I blame...
I don't know.
I don't have any blame here for Buffy or Riley about the Queller demon.
I don't. I don't either, because, I don't know, to me... When when Buffy found out about her mom's brain tumor thing, I mean, I get just wanting to be with your mom and not telling anybody. I don't know.
Yeah. And when, okay, I'll get into this now. When you are the boyfriend and something big like that goes on in your girlfriend's life, you put aside your selfishness, and that is just all her, the way she's going to deal with it. And this doesn't extend for months and months and months. This is like a few days. If she was badly treating him and taking a lot of stuff out on him or something for months, I can see you start standing up for yourself. But she's going to act the way she needs to act. And to be fair, when she asked him to do something, he just does it. If she would have asked him to come over and do the dishes so she could be up with his mom, I think he would have done it.
Right.
But he acted so selfish. There are just so many moments where he just, like, looked so crestfallen or, you know, and he went on to the vampire crack whore ladies. And, you know, you have to accept the way, you just have to be the shoulder for that girlfriend, no matter what, and you just need to go with it. That's just the best way I can say it. You need to go with it and roll with it, and if you love her, you'll just be there for however she needs you, in whatever capacity.
Yep, I agree, totally.
And that he did not do. Some
She's
he did,
gonna...
but no, he was trying to fit her into a mold. He wanted her to grieve the way he wanted her to, and on his shoulder.
Yep. Well, he turned it back around into him.
Absolutely. You know, it was, like, very selfish.
You needed me, and, you know, I wanted to be there. It's like, you know what? This is happening to her, and she's going to deal with it the way she's going to deal with it. And you need to be there one way or the other.
Your only job is to just be there in whatever capacity she needs you to be in.
And just accept it. Whether she needs you or doesn't need you.
And you look back at these events with Joyce. Was it even a week? It was quick.
No. It was like 2 days, 3 days. You know? So, don't... Don't make it sound like she didn't give you what you needed. I mean, come on.
That is a big red flag to me.
It is to me, too. You know? And Emily and I are both women who... I don't think we rely on our husbands for a lot of stuff like that. I think we're pretty strong women. Yeah. And I would say that my husband knows, Cam knows, you know, I will mostly deal with things. He doesn't turn it around on him. I'm going to go through what I'm going to go through.
Right.
I don't want to say I don't rely on him a lot, because I do. But I don't know. We just have this understanding. I don't know. We get each other.
Yeah, Rob and I totally 100% too.
You know, we know when to lay off and we know when to not lay off.
Right. And our husbands just went through supporting us while our mother died.
Right. Just
and
a
there
month
was
ago,
nothing,
you
know? Nothing about him that was selfish. But, you know, we've been together for 12 years, so. Well, more like 15, because we dated a long time.
Cam and I realized tonight we've known each other for 25 years. We've been married for 10. But
we didn't date.
We were both married to other people, and all this other stuff happened. But, you know, I mean, Cam was there exactly the way I needed him to be.
Yeah, and so was Rob. And there wasn't even a thought. There wasn't even a thought of any of this. No.
No, not at all. You know. There was no turning it back on him. There was no, you didn't need me the way I need you to need me. You know?
No, and, you know, it was our mom's funeral in Wyoming happened to be on the exact day his first day of school happened, which was so incredibly inconvenient for him. And, you know, he's in his last semester of nursing school, so there's very little classes, but it was all of his classes on that day, and so it was the only one for the week. It was a huge deal, and he was there, because of course he was there. And there wasn't a thought that it was inconvenient for, you know, he was like, if it was when, you know, we were talking about what day to have it, and he put in his little, you know, Wednesday would be easier for me, but... You know, there was no guilt or nothing that we chose Monday still, and he was there.
He said the prayer closing mom's casket.
He did.
And it was sweet, and he choked up.
You know, gonna have to play the mother or woman song. But...
No! No!
When we said goodbye to mom, and I don't know, I got choked up for days thinking about Rob saying goodbye to her, because he took her hand and cried, and I just thought, oh, there was something so sweet about that. I'm sure what was going through his mind was like, you know, these hands raised my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very tender. Anyways. Wow.
Yeah.
Riley. Not a keeper.
Stupid Riley.
Not a keeper.
Nope. He would never have done that. He would have been like, what about me?
Okay.
Okay. So... You talked about holding. I held mom's hand too, and you.
I did too.
Oh.
I dressed.
Okay. Me. I know. Oh. Sorry, her funeral was a month ago today.
Yeah.
So Harold goes on to say, I thought they did a good job of slowly showing Riley sleeping back into his military ways. That scene where Willow and Xander were eating chips while he was making military hand gestures. Then he called in Graham to help with the Queller demon and seemed comfortable slipping back into military routine. So by the time he is given the opportunity to reenlist, it feels like a chance to return home.
Yeah, I like
I agree with
that.
Yes, it did seem quite natural that Riley would just slip back into that.
Yeah. It's like he got a small taste of it with the, you know, the chip scene and then the grenade. You know, it was like he got a little back in the action, but, you know, calling.
Well, and then the meteor.
Yeah, well,
crash.
Calling them at the meteor site was, you know. Yeah, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on like a. This is a protein alkaloid. Oh, whatever. We'll get into that. So, Ben Harold says, I have mixed feelings about Xander's speech to Buffy. When I first saw it, I thought it was one-sided and came out of nowhere. This time I thought there was at least some merit to the idea that you shouldn't base your decision to end a relationship just on some emotion you are feeling at the moment, be it anger, hurt, pride, or whatever. I am less certain about Xander's confidence that Riley was Buffy's once-in-a-lifetime, but I can't totally discount it either. Riley is in many ways well-suited for Buffy, except that he has some maturing to do, and he isn't an interesting TV character. But one thing I did realize this time around is that Xander is really talking about Anya. He is coming to the realization that she is not just his rebound, but his once-in-a-lifetime partner. In any event, I thought it was a good thing that they abetted the conventional Hollywood ending where she would catch up to him just as he was about to board the helicopter and have
a big
embrace. So how
frightened were you that she was going to get there on time?
Oh my gosh.
I love that they upended it, because I don't think it even crossed my mind once she started running to him that she wouldn't make it in time. It didn't even cross my mind she wouldn't make it, because that's what happens, is they do the big run to see the plane off
right,
or something. They always make it. And if they don't make it, they come back, you know, like a 30 seconds later, you know, the helicopter just shows up later that night or something. I couldn't do it.
The whole thing was so frustrating to me, because, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I was just so...
Yeah, it's frustrating.
So disappointed that Buffy didn't just break it off.
That she ran. I don't have very mixed feelings about Xander's speech. I thought it was sanctimonious. And out of nowhere.
I did too.
And I've seen it a few times, and I'm...
I didn't like Xander's speech at all. I mean, I guess on second viewing, like, Harold has, you know, he's
talking
seen it as...
Anya.
He's talking about Anya, but...
I guess so, but he
I don't know.
Didn't have a big fight. If they had had a big fight, that
right.
would make a lot of sense. But they didn't, so I don't equate it... I mean, he did, obviously... It was almost, it was kind of that thing where you see a relationship break apart and you're like, I don't want that to happen to me. And so you run home to your girlfriend, you know.
Right, right. I saw it more as Xander, like, hearing these words come out of his mouth and realizing, oh my gosh, I love Anya.
Which is probably what Harold means.
I don't want this to happen to me.
That's probably what Harold means. But it would make better sense to me in the show if... He and Anya had a fight, and then he's like talking about himself to Buffy. That would I could buy that, but he's not. He's talking about stuff he doesn't know about.
And I even have written down. I'm like, you really think Riley is her once in a lifetime guy?
Yeah, Spike.
I mean,
Spike had it way better.
Really?
You know, what does he call him?
You're not the long haul guy,
and you know it. Listen to Spike in these matters. Spike knows.
Spike's a poet. No matter how bad of a poet he was a poet. He knows about people's feelings.
He has a poet's soul.
He does. Okay, so Harold's favorite things. Giles selling Glory the amulet and bloodstone. but if it is any consolation, they were overpriced. Spike constantly popping up in Buffy's home to swipe and smell items. And then Harold is in parentheses, without consequence. Because that is so true.
She totally did. She even like saw the, are those pictures of me? And then...
Are those pictures of me? But then that alien thing, it's just like all forgotten.
Yep, doesn't remember that.
Buffy's breakdown while doing
that
the
really
dishes.
Weird, unexplainable music.
What the bip?
Yeah, if we did a What the Bip in this show, that would be my What the Bip. What in the bip music was that?
It just kept doing like the same... The same like chord every time. It was
really weird. It
doesn't
sound anything like anything Buffy's ever listened to.
Anyone's ever listened to. It was horrible. He says Buffy Javelin's taking the whore vow. I agree.
That was amazing.
I like that part a lot. And Xander telling Anya how he feels about her. That was very sweet.
Yes. That was cute.
least favorite thing. Xander reads about the Queller demon in a book entitled Mediums and Me.
I'm rather fond of that. It just doesn't make any sense.
Wait till you hear what I wrote down. Willow giving Joyce a beer hat. I had a problem with that, too.
Me, too. I have a small problem with that.
Riley using a... Riley using a plastic steak. What was the point of that? Oh, my gosh, Harold. You and I, our brains are, like, connected here. Just kill him already, Riley, and solidify your standing as least favorite regular character. Oh, my gosh, I almost wrote that same thing. And I promise, I do not read these before I watch. And then he says, oh, and here are smiley faces because my daughter Jocelyn. Oh, his daughter is named Jocelyn. So cute. I love that name. Seriously, I love the name Jocelyn.
Cute.
Okay. He says, oh, and here are some smiley faces. Jocelyn wants me to insert them. She says they are fun. She says the last one is the queen.
And they're not showing up on my iPod.
They're not showing up on mine but... Oh,
no,
my God.
They're showing up on the first one he sent. Yeah,
oh, are
I'll
they?
Have to look them in on my PC, because sometimes the Apple things, they look like little emoticons, and the last one's got a little circle hat. That's the queen.
I didn't
How
look
cute.
At his first one. I just looked at the one because it said it was amended.
Right.
Oh, I can see him now. I just looked at the... Oh, cute. Oh, Jocelyn. I love that name.
That's adorable. All right. Thank you, Harold, and thank you, Jocelyn, for the smiley faces. We enjoyed them.
Yes. All
right. Okay, so we got an email feedback right from Bronwyn. That's our sister-in-law. Hey, Em and Sue, here is my feedback. I will try to replace Bob as much as I can. Thank you. This is very randomly structured, as last night was a let's play with mommy from 3 to 5 a.m. kind of night, and then she was up at 7. Yuck. Lucy.
Little Lucy. Oh, but she's so cute.
So.
Who wouldn't want to play with her from 3 to 5 and then at 7? I would.
It's different when it's every day.
Every day. And not the aunt?
Not the aunt.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure she makes it better. It's, you know... Better than someone else waking you up and wanting to play from 3 to 5 and then getting up at 7. you know,
that would just be
the
weird.
Person in the cubicle next to you don't like very much. That would be very weird.
So quit bitching, B. At least it's not.
Okay. Overall, I think the Joyce stuff is making it kind of impossible for me to like these episodes. That and Riley's long, drawn-out departure. I said this on the Facebook page right before I watched it, but even though I am not a Riley hater, it was obvious that they were getting rid of him and somehow had to do it in the slowest way possible. They get rid of Oz in one episode, still not over that, but make us sit through multiple episodes of Pouty Riley? Yeah, they handled Oz in one episode.
That's true.
But I think everyone complained about that. Alright, Shadow. Anya is on fire in these episodes. I'm glad she's gotten some direction also, helping Giles in the shop. Ex-demon knowledge is probably a fairly unmarketable skill. I have to say that I love Glory. I am excited for her to probably be the big bad. I love her too. Okay, she's a lot easier to look at and listen to than Adam and Fondant Forest. her underling person is so gross and her shoe obsession is so awesome. So she's in that movie Bring It On that Elijah Dushku's in also. And I think B likes that movie, so B probably recognizes her from that.
I recognize her from something. I don't know what it is.
She's just Glory to me, but I really need to watch that Bring It On movie.
I know I haven't seen Bring It On.
I know I haven't either, but I've been hearing about it for years.
But she seems familiar to me, and I just haven't dared IMDb her.
Well, after we get out of Gmail, I can do that for you.
Yeah, because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Look at how many episodes of Buffy, right. You know. But I know I've seen her in something, and it's not Bring It On. I guarantee you that.
Tara's hair changed in this episode. I'm glad to be done with her bad roots, but not loving the slight red tinge. I didn't even notice.
I kind of liked it. I did, and I liked it.
I can picture it now.
Funny from someone who went really red from their brunette hair. Which, I love your red hair, B.
Well, she just doesn't love it on Tara. Riley's head is gigantic has been my biggest complaint about him up until this point. Man, you're lucky. You're so lucky.
That's all.
But I'm cringing every time he comes on screen now. Spike smelling Buffy's sweater and then demonstrating how it gets him riled up was so amazing and wonderful. But really, all of the hospital scenes turn excruciatingly long and sad and painful. I'm sure you guys felt similarly. I shed some tears that I never have before. We'll just say that. But I enjoy them. How are you handling this, Sue?
Well, it's such a difference. I mean, our mom died so suddenly.
Yeah, we didn't have hospital.
We didn't have. Yeah.
Doctors
so
and surgeries and things.
So I really, for the most part, I really don't like connect it with what's recently happened to me.
Yeah.
Because
I don't either, but I've seen it
like,
before.
It's like the opposite of our experience, yeah. You know? And I mean, it has made me think what's better, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, watching this, I don't sit there and think, oh, my mom just died. And I don't know. Because it's just so different from how it happened with us.
Yeah. And yeah, they didn't feel long. They felt a little sad. You know, I'm looking at Dawn a little differently than I did my first watch and everything. And so it's all a little more tender to me for some reason this time around. Maybe it's podcasting about it and talking it out or what, but.
Right. I mean, I would say that they seem to be reacting like I think you would react.
Yeah. Yeah. It is quite realistic.
You know, like I think Sarah Michelle Gellar has done a really good job. Like when she's talking to the doctors and just the way she's looking at them, I can imagine those are the kind of things that you'd say, and that's kind of the way that you would look. But I don't know.
It's sad that her dad's just absent, and so she has to.
Right.
She doesn't have her dad. Yeah.
She's the grown up, you know. I don't know. I think it's just. The timing is just weird.
The timing's a little weird.
You know? And just, I don't know, it was just so sudden with us. It was just so sudden.
I don't know. Anyway. It's different enough that it's been okay. Plus, you know, and she's, they got this tumor and all that.
Right. I mean, I would say that you know, the whole time watching this whole Joyce thing, I haven't been sitting there and comparing my own experience to it.
Yeah,
at
I haven't
all.
Either.
Not even once. It seems like a completely different experience.
Right.
So I don't know.
So we're sorry it's hard for you, B. But we've kind of had a different experience, I guess.
Yeah. I don't feel what Buffy's going through.
Yeah. Okay, so Snake Eye was fairly well done. I will agree with that to a point.
Except for the arms.
That's my biggest complaint. Why arms?
We'll talk about the arms. And why he's so, like, buff.
If there was one instance where Snake needed arms for something or hands, I would be like, okay. There is not one time where those arms were necessary in any capacity. And it was a snake.
And they had, like, biceps and stuff. I don't know.
And I thought it looked really bad when Sarah Michelle Gellar jumped on him and was like bunking Bronco Snake. was not well done and good. But other than that, I thought the practical parts, close-ups of him and stuff were good. And, you know, going down the street terrorizing, I thought that was done pretty good. But the arms really bring in, you know, really loose points.
The arms lost me.
I will tell you that in Buffyland, this is a very... It is really beaten to death about how bad it is.
Okay, good.
Anyway.
Because, no, I agree. The close-ups were good.
Yeah, where it was probably some sort of puppet thing, it was alright.
Yeah.
It looked like a snake.
I've
really did.
It did. I've had pet snakes, and the mouth was really good. I remember noticing that and, like... noticing where the tongue came out of and where the fangs were, I was like, nice job.
Yeah, and the scales, you felt like if you touched it, it would felt just like a snake.
Right. But then my biggest problem was the arms and then just the length of the snake was wrong.
Ah, yeah, it was.
You know, he was only like a couple feet long. And to have that big of a head, he should have been, I don't know, like 16 feet long.
Agreed.
I don't know.
I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yeah. It's...
said, and I was kind of zoning out watching this, but I sat straight up when I saw Riley letting that vampire bite him. I thought he was going to let her turn him, and that was just going to be a mess, but probably a lot. Probably a more fun mess than the one we got. Wouldn't that have been cool? if she would have turned him into a vampire? And Riley had to stake it?
That's what I was hoping for.
That would have been awesome.
I was like... Yeah, that's totally was... I was hoping that Riley was going to turn into a vampire and that Spike was going to stake him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's what happened in my head.
It's been too long and I don't remember, but yeah, that would have been cool. And no one would have suspected he was just getting bitten for thrills.
Oh my gosh.
Not getting into that right now.
Nope.
Listening to Fear. Creepiest monster to date. I hate, hate, hate aliens, and this guy was just the worst. His freaky mouth, his gross shell on his back, and anything sneaking around the ceiling and staring at Joyce while she's going crazy is so creepy. I have to tell you, when I watched this episode for the first time, it was dark, and I was alone. And it scared the ever-living crap out of me. It really did. She was so scary. And I just wasn't sure. I'm like, is the thing there? Is the thing there? Is she actually talking to the thing? And she did the scariest things with her eyes. And she did, oh man. She gets an Emmy for that in my head.
Oh, heck yeah.
It
No,
was
she.
amazing.
I
Yeah.
loved it.
And I
I.
was like in the perfect scenario for it to just creep me out as max as it could have. It wasn't daytime. It was late. Oh, it scared me so bad. It really creeped me out. So yeah, B. All caps for me too. Awesome.
I didn't know that B hated aliens as much as she does.
Oh my gosh. You don't know that? B will not watch alien movies. She just hates she even hates like the little fake green big-headed things. Just no aliens for
Really?
B.
I didn't know
None.
that. Like you and E.T.?
I don't know, we'll have to ask her. Says, I'm so glad I turned the TV off after Shadow last night and watched this during broad daylight today. Yes, you are, because that was scary. I even thought about you, thinking, this might scare me. Plus brain on the mentally ill, not a fan. I was okay with interesting that in states of semi-consciousness, Dawn's true nature is seen. I'm excited to see where they take her. If she's mortal, but she's a key, what would happen if she died of old age? I don't know. The key dies with her, or it floats away? I have no idea. Loved Willow playing Jewish female Santa. Into the woods. I liked Spike waiting outside her window. The Christmas Hanukkah uprising of Gosling poster and that scene with Anya at the end. Oh, and the dusting scene. Can't really be called a fight scene. Xander's hair is too long, and I hate that they made it such a painful split. Glad Xander talked a little bit of sense into Buffy. M said at one point that Buffy would be a terrible girlfriend, and I agree. She is the queen of double standards with her men and was totally with Riley out of convenience, but wanted him to disappear when she was done. They should have just ended it. My word, instead we get that painful running scene where they try to tease us that she'll get there on time. That might have been painful to people that like Riley. It's hard to think in those terms. Maybe this could be a notch towards the case of can Buffy please get her driver's license now? So there's my feedback. Sorry it's so random. Love and Lucy kisses B. Aw, thanks B. Thanks Lucy.
Oh, thanks, Susie kisses.
Let's move on. Elizabeth Smith's feedback.
Yeah, so Elizabeth says her the subject is Riley apologist alert.
Bring it on.
All right, Elizabeth. We might have to come to fisticuffs over this.
Good thing you're in California.
I know. Good thing we're a couple states away. I'm going to interrupt this celebratory podcast with an attempt to interject some positive thoughts about Riley. Don't
Already
throw
did, too
things.
late.
So, I don't hate Riley. I never have. However, I don't think it works on the show, and he really drags it down sometimes. As far as my hierarchy of characters, Riley is above Parker and Forrest and
I will
Adam.
agree to that.
Well, sure. But below most everyone else. Wait, what happened? I was going to say positive things. Okay, here are my top 10 reasons why Riley is not the worst. Oh, this is awesome. I haven't read. Okay, one. For the most part, he's a really nice guy. Like a genuinely nice guy. Not a, hey, I'm a nice guy, why aren't you sleeping with me kind of
Like
a nice
Parker.
guy. He made some mistakes, but he has a good heart.
I'll
All
agree
right,
to
I'll
that.
give you
He
that.
is genuinely nice. Captain Cardboard, but genuinely nice.
Two, he stood up to the initiative despite his conditioning and programming at great cost to himself. Granted, there was a really good reason, but still. All right, I'll give you that. Three, he actually changed his perspective on things. He started out against all demons and creatures. Then he helped Oz escape. And by the end, he was donating blood to needy
vampires. Oh, that's
vampires.
A very nice way to look at it.
Wow. Donating blood? Elizabeth.
But I will give you, he did change his perspective on creatures.
He did. Number four, okay. Everybody has faults, so I can't get too mad at Riley for his faults. He just happens to be more in love with his girlfriend than she is with him and has a massive insecurity about it. Is it great? No. Do I like that he basically goes to a vampire brothel and then blames Buffy? Absolutely not. But do I forgive him? Yes. I actually feel bad that he is so insecure that he self-destructs. Although I have absolutely no experience with this, I would assume that when your insecurity leads you to lash out in righteous indignation, it might feel good for a while, but nobody is going to beat yourself up more than you are. I feel sorry for him. There, I said it.
I don't know, Elizabeth. You're not... These aren't the strongest cases for Riley.
Number four, Elizabeth. I don't know.
I do blame him. And I don't forgive him at this point.
No, because, again, I am of the mind that he knew early on what he was getting into with Buffy. So,
and
yeah.
The sentence, do I like that he basically goes to a vampire brothel and blames Buffy? That cinches him.
That made me so mad. She says, number five, in parentheses, but I feel sorry for Buffy more, don't get me wrong. Number six, in parentheses, Riley has more faults than those, I'm just giving him a break. And then she says, 7 through 10, yeah, I don't hate Riley, but I don't love him. Get off my back. Jeez, 10 things, top 10 reasons. You sounded better than top 4 reasons. Continue your celebration. Huzzah! All right, Elizabeth, your sense of humor has won me over.
And I don't think you're...
I like people who just have to defend even the worst
people.
That's
great. And you brought up good points that I actually agree with. And I didn't think I would.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The only one I have a problem with is number four.
Yeah.
So, nice try, Elizabeth.
And thank you for writing in.
Yes.
Okay. Boy, we are just flying through this feedback.
I know.
Not so much. Okay. Valpass on Facebook says, Shadow, OMG, this is the one with Fake the Snake. The part where Buffy jumps on him and starts punching him with her tiny little fist is hysterical and cringeworthy. It looks so bad. Sue, what do you think about this Glory chick so far?
I like Glory.
Yep.
I like these crazy, crazy Glory.
Yep. She's awesome. I give this 6 out of 10 bad CGI snakes. Listening to Fear. The Queller demon was so bad looking, but it was creepy when it was above Joyce's bed as she continued her crazy talk. Oh man, it was so gross when he spits all that gooey crap all over her face. Yeah. Love the look on Sarah Michelle Gellar's face as her eyes welled up when Joyce tells her, what would I do without you? In that last hospital scene. Damn, she says so much with her eyes. Yeah, the last time I watched it, just last night, I wondered, did she get that look on her face? Because she's a slayer and she probably doesn't have a long lifespan? I don't know, I just never had that thought before. Or was it just so good to hear her mom say that?
I took it as it was so good for her mom
yeah,
to
me
say
too.
That.
It's just this very last time I said it, that thought popped into my mind. Okay. Just something to think about. I also thought it was a great scene for Sarah Michelle Gellar when Buffy is doing the dishes and she breaks down crying. All the stress and worry for her mom had finally gotten to her and she couldn't hold it back anymore. I definitely could relate to that scene. Yeah, that totally is when you just break down.
Oh, yeah.
Or the shower. The shower's yep. a good one. I felt so bad for Buffy when Joyce told her she was disgustingly fat. Joyce didn't mean it, but Buffy still looked so hurt. Yeah, it was sad. And weird. When the gang were checking out the thing that crashed in the woods, and Anya says to Riley, if there's radiation, you can go all sterile, I loved. When you see Xander, quickly back away. He just couldn't get away fast enough.
I didn't notice that.
He, like, jumps like he's on fire. Also loved when Riley took that goop out of the dead guy's mouth and everyone at the same time went ooh and covered their noses and were gagging from the horrible smell. It looked so good because they all did it at the exact time and they really looked like they smelled a horrid odor. Yeah,
I agree. That was pretty cool.
But my favorite part was this line from Xander after Riley tells him, don't touch it because it might be toxic. Oh yeah, touching it was my first impulse. Luckily, I've moved on to my second, which involves dry heaving and running like hell. Oh man, does that smell. Yeah, that was a good line. I give this one 6 out of 10. Space lambs. Anya. TM, Anya? What does TM mean?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just not good at the acronyms. I don't know what they mean.
Unless she meant I'm Anya, because that was Anya's line.
Or maybe TM means something, like, to me, or...
Maybe.
I don't know. You know us. We don't do those abbreviations. We spell things out and use punctuation.
Yep. Okay. Into the woods. Well, pop the champagne and throw some confetti. Riley is gone. Hallelujah. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
The first time I watched it, we haven't celebrated that enough yet. Yay! The first time I watched it, I thought for sure Buffy would get in there in the nick of time to stop Riley from flying off. I didn't want her chasing after him after her talk with Xander. Damn it, Xander, shut up. But was so glad she was too late. I've never been so happy to be wrong. Riley pissed me off in that argument scene with Buffy at the magic box. Yes. Riley, take your damn ultimatum and shut the hell up. You and your blood-sucking vamp pose. Fly away and don't come back, please. Yeah, the ultimatum was the worst. The absolute worst.
It's like, could the writers find a way for us to hate him even more?
Well, they did.
Oh, my gosh. And we won't even get started on what he was wearing.
Wasn't he just...
As he flew away.
The... Yes, we will. It was a turtleneck and a leather jacket. Okay. I love that scene where Buffy is surrounded by those vamps in the alley and she takes that spear and bam, 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 stabs and kills them. Then you think she's going to let that female vamp run off, but remembers it's the one that was sucking on Riley, so she throws the spear as the vamp is running away and poof, that was awesome. Not a favorite episode, but a good conclusion. 6 out of 10, bye-bye, Rileys.
I agree.
Yep. I like what it did.
Me too.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Love the feedback.
Yeah.
So in these three episodes, how do you think they rate on the season scale?
Probably pretty bad. Like in the higher season wise, like the higher 20s.
Well, there's only 22.
Yeah, so I would think like 18, 19, and 20.
How about 18, 21, and 22?
That works.
All right.
Let me guess. Shadow is 20?
There's no 20. There's 18, 21, and 22.
Okay, so Shadow is 21. Yes.
And ranked number 129 in all-time Buffy eps. So here's the thing with me. I don't... Now, this is a good season, so they can be down at the bottoms here, but I don't know. I just don't... I find them interesting. I think the storyline's interesting with the Joy stuff. The Riley stuff is so weird. The Spike stuff is great. The magic shop stuff is good. I don't know. They're just they're not too bad, but this is such a good season that I don't know. I probably wouldn't rank it 129. But that's fine. I accept it. But I don't know. I don't have the hate that so many people do, I guess, with it.
Well, and I would say as a first watcher, I mean, at least they move the story along. Yeah. And so I appreciate
that. Yeah, they're not one-off Monster of the Week.
I mean, I can see as a rewatcher, like, hating the Joyce brain tumor stuff. And just, like, not wanting to see that again. But as a first watcher, it was kind of interesting to me.
I've seen them a few times, and I still find them interesting. But I can see what you mean. Other people might not, but I find the whole storyline interesting.
So, I didn't hate these episodes. I didn't love them, but I didn't hate
it. It wasn't about Xander's shadow killing people.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. But I don't know. I mean, for the Shadow episode, I really don't have a lot of notes. I mean, my first one is, oh, so Glory is her name?
Glorificus, yes.
And I loved Anya asking if the ad mentioned her.
I know. Not as such.
But then, like, Spike smelling Buffy's clothes was amazing.
Bitter and aggravating.
And then I just love it when Riley asks if he was smelling Buffy's clothes, and just the way he says no, and just the way his eyes move.
Just kind of calls it, no.
But then he does it again. He's like, I need to...
Yeah, he says Slayer Musk. Oh, he's got a, what does he say?
He's just doing it for his own.
Just nothing wrong with it. Just getting familiar with the enemy scent.
Yes.
He goes, Slayer Musk. Bigger and aggravating.
I just love that so much.
And those really are not bad Riley scenes, to be honest.
No, they're really not. But then you get the scene of Riley taking... Okay, so they're in the hospital, and Buffy asks Riley to take Dawn to school.
And he takes her to the carousel.
And instead, he takes her to the carousel and gets her ice cream. I mean, again, she's 14.
Yep.
I mean, I just can't wait until they're actually writing for 14-year-old Dawn, because it seems like they're still writing for, like, I don't know, 8 or 9-year-old Dawn.
Yeah, there's a big one in one of these scenes I put in my notes, and I don't remember which. I don't think it's in one of these episodes, and I don't think it's this one. But there is a Oh, it's in the next one. I see it.
I mean, seriously, that is just driving me nuts.
Yeah. And, you know, Dawn is, especially in season 5, I mean, she's, it's pretty popular to just not like her at all. That's why everyone's like, kind of pleasantly surprised
it's
you like
her. The way, I know, it's because of the way they're writing her. It's just, it's driving me nuts. And I don't blame it on her. I blame it on the writers.
Yeah.
Because I was 14 when Amy and Scott got married. Mm-hmm. And I was not that 14-year-old.
No. 14 is pretty old.
Mom was dropping me and my friends off at, like, NXS concerts and stuff. I mean, we were doing stuff as, you know, we weren't eating ice cream in front
Carousels.
Of married girls. You know? I don't know. It's driving me nuts.
And what good is that doing her, where I feel like school, you kind of feel like a normal girl, that everything's okay.
Exactly. I mean, why didn't he take her to school? I mean,
it's that security, and that, I don't know. Buffy told her to take her to school, and that probably would have been the best place for her right there. To just feel like a normal 14-year-old that's at school. And you get your mind on school and distractions and friends and
exactly. I don't know. But I do have a note. So Buffy and Spike did end up talking. Because.
Yes, I have that note too. There's a point. Riley has some sort of knowledge that Buffy opened up to Spike a bit. I've never noticed that.
Yep, because Riley doesn't know that Buffy's mom's in the hospital. He shows up at her house for whatever reason, and that's when he meets Spike smelling her clothes. And Spike's like, you don't even know she's at the hospital with her mom, you know? And he says something like, we talked about it last night, and I was like, aha, they did talk.
I noticed that too. And he does mention buying drinks and stuff, and for a minute I thought, what did they do? And then I'm like, oh, he's talking about the Fool for Love night. Wow. That was just last night. Crazy.
And then I have, I like Glory. I love that scene in the zoo where she's like just beating up Buffy and talking about things, and he like throws Buffy through that glass, and she's like, scene.
She's so funny.
I love that
scene.
And then I'm like, ha ha ha, the cobra arms. A snake with arms, that is so weird.
Like I said, they were totally unnecessary. He didn't have any duties where he needed his arms for something. I know. All he does is crawl around and break through the glass at the magic box and then have to go back to Glory. That's all he needed to do. He didn't need arms.
I know, but not only did he have arms, but they were like little T-Rex arms. And they were like so buff.
I might have to go back and see the buff arms. I totally didn't notice.
Yeah, like biceps and everything.
When, you know, you'd think they'd be more like lizard arms.
Which I know.
He was so thin and little.
Thin and unnecessary. His were like,
they had the structure of human arms.
They were like buff. Like,
that is funny.
Oh, they were awesome.
Oh, I wrote down, Giles loves his paperweights. He mentioned something about could be a paperweight. Is he talking to Glory? He's talking to someone.
I don't know. I didn't.
He puts it in the bag and says something about it being a nice paperweight too. It's just funny.
Oh, that might have been.
Is Sunnydale like especially breezy? I just don't think about paperweights very often in life.
I like paperweights. I have a paperweight.
You do.
Collection.
But you don't use them to hold down paper.
I don't. I don't use them for anything but
decoration. My next note says that doctor sucks. His bedside manner is deplorable.
I don't have anything about the doctor yet.
This is the one where he's talking. He tells her that she's got a glioma, whatever it's called.
Oh,
and then he goes
yeah.
all into the cell phone and her insurance. And he's just, he hits her with it. And then he's just going off about all these dumb questions she doesn't even know. Which a doctor, first off, would never, ever ask you. Because that is not
their
job.
You know, I was wondering that, too. I was like,
that's why
really?
There's receptionists and nurses.
Well, because the first thing he asks her is, like, does your insurance company, like, insist on having the MRI? And it's like, how in the hell would she know that?
And,
you know,
that is not
I mean,
something
isn't
doctors,
that...
that's, you know, they get paid the big bucks not to have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, isn't that someone yes. else's job to, like, worry about what the insurance company needs?
Absolutely. I go through you a know, lot of medical and... little things with Eleanor, and there's no way a doctor would ever ask you that. Now, if he was writing a paper about cell phone usage and brain tumors, I could see him asking those kinds of questions he was asking Buffy. Or...
Right. It's like, who do you think you are, Aaron Brockovich?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I've got more notes in the next couple episodes right. about the doctor.
Well, that's my rant about the doctor. Oh, and back to the carousel scene. What was up with Riley promising that Joyce will get better to Dawn? That pisses me off so bad when people make promises to a child that they have no business making a promise to. He's got no business that Joyce is gonna... He goes... She's like, she's not gonna get better, is she? Absolutely she will.
Oh, I hate that too.
That's a horrible thing to do.
It really is. It really is. And
I wouldn't even do that. I don't do that to Scout. I do not do stuff like that to her. I would never.
No, I don't. And... I don't either, and
well,
I...
if a 14-year-old or anyone like that about their mom said, she's not going to get better, is she? You say, no, she very well could. But, you know, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. But, you know, you can say a lot of things, but you don't say, absolutely, she will. Yeah. Anyway, Riley doing that didn't win him any points with me. It's horrible, horrible thing to do.
It is, because you don't know.
He has zero control over that. And it was pretty bad at that point.
Well, it was. It was her mom's brain. I mean, you can't... I don't know.
Yep.
My next note is, yes, cheat on her, Riley.
Is that when you see him and Sandy, like...
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to sleep with her.
Yes, and then my next... I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Does he seriously want to become a vampire to be like Angel?
That would have been so cool. In an alternate universe, that would have been an awesome storyline.
You know...
Better than what we got.
That's where they should have gone.
That would have
yes.
been really cool.
I would have loved to have seen Riley become a vampire... And then...
Spike staking him. I love that so much.
Spike staking him, or even Buffy staking him.
That would have been poignant, although she already did that with Angel, kind of. She did. Yeah. It's too similar to Angel, so Spike doing it would have been sweet.
And then my next note is, man, those snake arms crack me up. And then I have, why did the snake run away from Dawn? Isn't that what it's looking for? I didn't.
It found that she was the key, and so it was going back to tell Glory. That Buffy's sister, or the key's in the magic shop, she's a young girl. That's how I imagine it. I guess the snake can't really talk, but I think she can communicate with it enough that he didn't need to bring the key to her. He was locating it for her.
Oh, I thought the snake's point was to bring the key back. So I was like, why doesn't the snake just like grab her and bring her back?
He was to inform her.
Oh. Alright, well, it's kind of stupid.
I made some notes about just a little throwaway Giles line. He's talking to a customer and he's like, no, we don't have Aleister Crowley Sings, but we have a nice CD of whale sounds. And I'm like, oh, I gotta look up this Aleister Crowley. That's gotta be a funny joke in there somewhere. I did.
You? And?
He lived from 1875 to December of 1947, and he was English, and he was an occultist, a ceremonial magician, a poet, a painter, a novelist, and a mountaineer. So he founded the religion and philosophy of Thelemina. So he was just, you know, and that's like where like Wicca stemmed from and a bunch of other stuff. It's the New Age. It's just that all of those roots come with, like, what this guy founded. At the very end of this, it says that Crowley gained widespread notoriety during his lifetime, being a recreational drug experimenter, bisexual, and an individualist social critic. As a result, he was denounced in the popular press as the wickedest man in the world and erroneously labeled a Satanist. Crowley has remained a highly influential figure over Western esotericism and the counterculture, and continues to be considered a prophet in Thelemina. In 2002, a BBC poll ranked him as the 73rd greatest Briton of all time. And there's a great picture of him in this Wikipedia page. I'll have to post it. Anyway, so I guess that's a pretty funny joke. Aleister Crowley sings, but he does have a disco whale sound. Anyway, I guess that's my Emily Repeats History of the Week.
Well, you're thank welcome. You, Emily.
And that's all my notes for Shadow.
Yeah, I don't have any more. Yeah.
All right. Listening to Fear. Did you want to guess which one this is? 18 or 22?
It's got to be 22. Yep.
And rank number 132, so we're in the bottom 12 of the series. So, my personal thoughts. The demon's bad, and it's gross, and it's weird. But it scores really high on that Joyce scene. That's so creepy. That I don't know. I don't think of it as one of my worst episodes. But it's ridiculous. It is, you know. You can't deny that it's got some ridiculous qualities to it.
So if you're basing the episode on the demon itself.
Which, yeah. I'm shocked by how much people do that.
Look at, if you look at everything else, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad of an episode.
I don't either. And I'm continually shocked on how much people care about the demons and rank the episode accordingly, where I don't care that much. It's the storyline and it's the characters. As Bob used to say, he watches the show for the characters. And so, to me, yeah, the demon was bad and gross, but I don't focus on it.
Right.
I focus on the character beats, and those are pretty good, I thought.
Well, if I just go by, like, notes alone, I've got one side and then the other side of a notebook page of notes on this one. Where Shadow, I've got like 8 lines. It's like about half a page. I mean, yes, the demon is horrible in this one. But to me, there was a lot more going on than the mm-hmm. demon. So, like, my first note is, what the F is Riley doing?
How does it start for him?
With the girl vampire, like, feeding off of him.
It's the one where he has a shirt on, though. Next episode.
Yeah. Yes.
That's such a funny detail to me. My first note is Dawn Strikes Again. So this is the one. Scout is 9 and would never, ever in a million years be drawn into this gelatin cow feet conversation.
Oh, yes, I know.
She's a good 5 years younger than Dawn, and Scout would never say something like that. But my friend said that these cows walk around with no feet. She's like, but I say they kill them. But then she looks at them like, right?
I know. Again, I'm like, she's 14.
Bippin' years old.
Yeah, she's not 7.
No, she's not. Yeah, so lame.
Yeah. My second note is a bear hat. Really? That's just weird. Like, Why?
Thought she was very thoughtful about the gift to Dawn. A little spell book that wasn't about casting spells, but Dawn was really excited about it. But
right.
The bear hat.
Okay, this is a woman that's about to have brain surgery. She can't be wearing a hat. And when has Joyce ever been... Like one of those beer
drinkers. Well, to be fair, she mentions you can put other beverages in it.
Sure. I don't know.
Okay. I hope I don't lose points with a lot of you out there, but I don't find Willow as charming as everybody else. I don't...
Willow lost some points with me in this little scene.
Yeah. She loses some points with me. Now, seasons 1 through 3... Willow could barely do anything wrong to me. And I can kind of see that. She was adorable. And she was awesome. And Allison Hannigan does a great job with Willow. But Willow the character, I've told you, I have a complicated relationship with Willow. And this is one of those little instances where I'm just kind of like, yeah, Willow, I don't know. It's not a big deal. It really isn't. But it speaks a lot about her. That it kind of seemed flippant and a little, aren't I cute? I don't know.
It really did, because I mean, the first thing I thought of was, that's really insulting to give someone who's about to have a brain operation, like a hard hat type thing.
I agree. She could have gotten her something very thoughtful, like she got Dawn. And it's not a big
exactly.
deal, but it's how I feel.
I know. It's not. I agree. But I have seen what someone looks like when they come out of a brain tumor operation. I was there with Doug when Gordon had mm-hmm. his. And the hospital luckily considered me family and let me in. And he looked like a really messed up Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was bald. There were staples all over his head. There was no way he was wearing any kind of hat like that. I mean, it bugged me enough that Joy still had all her hair. Yeah. And I didn't even write that down. I was like, come on, they're going to shave her head. Yeah. You know? But to give her like a hard hat for beer with tubes, I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and I realize in the Vuppyverse, she just charms the pants off everybody, and she can kind of do no wrong. You know,
No, this is wrong. There's a lot more things she could have done. I mean, seriously, when is Joyce a beer drinker? Does she need a hat like that? I don't know. I was very disturbed by that.
Yeah, I'm choice interested that you felt like exactly the same as I did.
No, it really bugged me.
It really bugged me too.
Thought it was just dumb. I mean, sure, get Cam that hat. But not Joyce.
Yeah.
I don't know. It bugged
me. And it bugged me the most in the way that it just seemed like she did it self-serving, funny thing to kind of...
Exactly.
And maybe she was trying to bring some light into the situation, but it made it kind of self-serving, and I don't know how to explain that better.
But yet, her gifts to Dawn was kind of thoughtful, and, you know, given Buffy, you know, remember that you're in college, here's your textbook.
Right.
You know, that was kind of
thoughtful.
And a
yo-yo. Okay. Buffy can sit and do a yo-yo,
yeah.
I guess. Just flowers.
Exactly, just flowers. Exactly. My next note is, haha, what did Joyce just say? Rip it in half and put it in bed with her.
Oh, that was weird.
Then have, ooh, crazy janitor sees something in Dawn.
Yeah, someone else does. I've got an old note that we missed that says, what is with the Amazon women vamps?
Oh!
Isn't that weird?
I was going to write that down. I didn't write it down, but I was going to say. So, I was going to write down. So, is this vamp, was she like a female wrestler?
They could have made one funny line about it, but there wasn't. I wonder if they made some and it got cut out for time. It was rife for like funny little zingers, and there was nothing. They just were giant women. Giant
that,
buff women.
I know. The one that lasted longer, the one that was in like that, I don't know, silver colored tank top. I was like, oh my gosh, she's
huge.
That's
the one that I seriously just wondered if she was just a transvestite vamp.
I was like, she's like 6'3" and has really big arms.
It was just a little odd that there was nothing about it. They just were. A little odd.
So then my next note is, okay, we're seeing this Ben guy a lot. Is this Buffy's next boyfriend? Mm. And then I like to see Buffy single for a while, or with Spike.
I thought that in his very first scene, the first time I watched it. When she just, you're the first time you're introduced to Ben, just episodes ago, I thought, oh, he looks like a love interest.
I kind of thought that, but it was like this time that I was like, okay, so here he is again. You know,
you've watched enough TV shows that a character that keeps reoccurring that has lines is going somewhere.
Right, exactly. Yep. So I was kind of like, all right, is this her next boyfriend? But yeah, but then I put, I'd kind of like to see Buffy single, but,
or with Spike.
Spike.
Hear, hear.
My next note is Superman going to make an appearance?
Superman, because of the meteorite. Because of the meteorite. Yeah. I wrote, Will and Tara could be playing somewhere out here right now. Somewhere out there right now. That's what I'd be doing.
Their little conversation was
It was cute. Tara and her made up constellations. Big pineapple.
My next note is, what the bip was that baby head thing with man arms?
Is that the Queller demon?
Yes. And then I have, no one can see that creepy trilobite thing crawling on the ceiling.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. He's huge, and he's on the ceiling of the hospital, and he's so far down.
No one notices. Yeah, I kind of had a problem with that.
That's something that the episode could definitely lose points for.
Then I have, I love that they're all just willing to leave Riley in the woods by himself. When they have no idea what's up there.
I'd leave him there.
I just love that so much. When he's like, well, I'd like to stay out here. And they're like, okay.
Bye.
We're going to go do some research. And they all just leave him out there. They wouldn't have done that with anyone else.
No way.
No way. If Xander wanted to stay out there or Buffy, no way. They would have made one or two of them be out there with them. But when it was Riley, they're like, okay. Yeah. you stay out there. And then I'm like, oh, that doctor is the worst.
I wrote that nurse sucks. Barnell. That scene. That guy is just, he's crazy, you know, he's addled, and he's scared out of his mind, and she doesn't say a word to him. She doesn't even interact with him at all, except tuck him into bed. She doesn't try to just give him any word of comfort at all. And this is a guy that's really freaked and not in his right mind. It really bugged me. She was such a terrible nurse. She couldn't give him any sort of lip service of comfort at all. And then she goes into her office. I know, you know, I can't really begrudge her when he's like, start screaming, because that she probably gets that every night.
Right.
When he's being killed, you know, but, you know, she's, like, just eating this cookie, but, yeah. Awful. Bad nurse. Bad nurse.
Kind of like a nurse ratchet.
Nurse Ratchet would even say something to them. It might be really mean.
She would at least acknowledge.
It probably, she didn't have any lines because they didn't have to pay her as much as if she had lines.
Right.
It came off. It bothered me. I thought that guy could have used a there or something. Really freaked out. Felt bad for him, and then he died. And he was serious. He knew that thing was in there. He was scared.
That's true.
He had to die very scared and alone. No one believed him. Anyway.
Oh, I hate that. That's one of the things I hate the most. I did think that Joyce's doctor was the worst. Like, so this is the point where they convince the doctor that Joyce should go home for a couple days before the surgery.
Yeah, and you know, Buffy spent a lot of time with her, and she could probably use that break.
Well,
and
yeah.
He was like, you're not going to get any sleep. But yeah, take her home, sure. Her medications and her monitoring is very complicated.
I know. And then he's just like, well, here's her sedative and so forth and the painkillers. I'm like, well, this is the worst doctor in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, I've had doctors like spend more time on pills that they're sending me home with than this guy did with Joyce. You know, it was like, well, here's some sedatives and so forth.
I can only imagine, you know, like, that there was a lot so off forth. Screen we didn't see, but I don't know.
I guess so. And I don't know. I mean, I want to blame Joyce too, but I can't because she's got the brain tumor thing going on. But it's like, really, you're a really bad example to your daughters.
And she was seriously agitated and weird about it. And, you know, doctors have these syringes that they can just put into people in that state and they just calm right down.
I know.
Shh, it's okay. I've seen it.
I mean, come on. Make her stay at the hospital. That's where she needs to be.
Yep.
And then I have, shouldn't Buffy Slayer's senses be tingling? She really doesn't see that thing on the ceiling.
That's... No one in that hospital scored too many points for not noticing that big cockroach.
Oh my gosh. Worst hospital ever.
And yeah, bad Slayer moment.
Then my next note is protein alkaloid. Really, Riley? And then I have, and where did you get that little jar?
Oh, yeah.
And then I wrote down, Riley, please just initiative your way off the show.
Well, in that scene, you could tell he was either, like, playing it up to sound really impressive, or they wanted him to sound impressive, so when Grant suggested Riley, the guy that didn't know him, that was heading the team, was like, yeah, call that guy. He said big words, and he knew what was going on.
He said protein alkaloid. And he told us not to touch that thing. It's like, oh my gosh. They should have all shown up in hazmat. I don't know.
Fail.
Fail, fail, fail.
Okay, so it was pretty good scene there with Buffy turning the radio up. You know, I have problems with the choice of music. And crying, and so scary. Joyce, just, she's been crazy, and then all of a sudden, she's talking crazy, but she's actually talking to that thing. And it's just, she's talking about tennis. And then she keeps bringing him up and staring at me. And you're just like, oh. Yeah, that got me, and I thought it was awesome how Dawn came running in and locks him out of the room, yells for Buffy, and I just love the way Buffy and Spike work together. I just felt,
yes,
you know, Spike's quite generous, and I just felt in my... by watching that scene, that he's the opposite of Riley. You know, and Riley gets a few props, but Spike has no problem with Buffy being as strong as she is. In fact, he likes it. It's a turn-on for him.
Spike likes it. Spike
and
gets it.
He gets it, and he's not intimidated by it. And he throws a knife, you know, and then helps her up. It's so sweet when he helps her up for some reason.
I know. No, I have. Oh, Spike helps her up. Oh. No, I loved it when he threw the knife to her and she just, like, catches it. And
it's just like, yeah. I mean, what would the scene have looked like if it was Riley? It would have been totally different. But Spike is generous towards her. He throws a knife at her. Knows she can get it herself. doesn't step in.
Right. Well, Spike gets it. Spike gets who she is. And he seems to, like, respect who she is.
Right.
Where Riley constantly wants to, I'm the man. I'm the initiative guy. I've been trained by the government. You know?
Yep.
He just, you know, he...
Let me prove myself right now. Let me
I know. He just can't accept that, like, 90-pound, you know, Buffy can fend for herself and
do a damn fine job. Better than he could do.
He says he gets it, but he doesn't.
In just one little fight scene with Spike and Buffy, in that little scene.
I know. They work together.
It just shows you know, how different it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Spike knew when to be there. He threw the knife at her, you know, and I don't know.
Trusted her completely.
I agree.
Watched her do it and then helped her up.
No, I liked it a lot, too. I mean, I've got a couple notes of stuff that happened before that. I liked Xander talking about the planets and cars with the same name. When he's like, Mercury is smaller than Saturn, but when the cars, right. You know.
Is that when they're when he's got meteors on me?
Yes. And then I have the conversation the Scoobies are having with the Quill stuff is kind of reminding me of 1960s Batman. Their logic just seems so Batman-like, like, because I don't know how familiar you are with the, like, Adam West Batman.
Not too much.
He was constantly, like, he'd be like, pretty fishy, what happened? Penguins like fish. What happened at the sea? Sea is for Catwoman. You know, I mean, he would just... he would just do, like, this convoluted deductive logic that was awesome. And I don't know, for some reason their whole Quill thing just reminded me of that.
That's funny.
And then I have Crazy Joyce. I would be totally down with having Crazy Brain Tumor Joyce the rest of the Like, seriously, if Joyce was just bananas the rest of the series, I'd be so cool
just
with that.
Just little things like, I'd rip it in half and stick it in bed with me.
Yes. I just love her to be, like, somewhat normal, but just say crazy shit.
That sounds great. I'm glad they removed the tumor in this episode.
I know. But then just at the end, I didn't see that coming. I thought Ben was being introduced as Buffy's ex-boyfriend. But I kind of like him having something to do with Glory instead.
Yeah, that's a head spin.
I find that very, very interesting.
That really caught me by surprise.
Me too. I mean, I'm very interested to see where that goes.
Yep.
Because I really did. I really did think that they were bringing in new guy as old guy goes.
He
kind of
just had the vibe of like a new Riley. Yeah.
He totally did. He totally did. And then I have, so Joyce knows about Dawn.
I love that scene so much. I think it is so sweet.
And then I have interesting things are happening in this one. Because I do. I find that very interesting. I find it really interesting. So Ben obviously has something to do with Glory. And then Joyce knows about Dawn. I don't know. I like that.
Yeah, Ben says that he's been cleaning up after Glory his whole life.
Right, right. What does that
mean? Do you have
any
theories?
Is he, like, thousands of years old like her? I mean, I get the idea that she's, like... Well, it's like Tara says, like, maybe this is something before, you know, things were written down. Like Glory's so old that there's not even a record of her. So is that the same with Ben? Is he like, I don't know, some sort of, is he the opposite of Glory? I don't know.
I remember my first theory when I was watching this, and it was that he was her brother.
Oh, okay.
My first theory. And I can tell you that because I remember as a newbie. That was my first thought. I didn't really get into the fact that she was so old. Which,
see, that's
I
all I
can
think
of
it. You know, she's so old. So does that mean he's so old? Like, is it a, you know, a Jesus devil type, you know? Like, well, I guess, you know, they're kind of considered brothers, I guess. I don't know. Because I really, if they were trying, it worked on me. I really thought he was going to be Buffy's next boyfriend. And that Spike was just going to still have, like, this obsession. Right. Like it's not going to happen between Buffy and Spike. You know, Ben's the next guy. But then that whole scene, I was like, ooh, wait.
He still could be the next guy.
I guess so. But I find it very intriguing that he's cleaned up after her. So, yeah, kind of like a brother. I can see that. Yeah. Interesting. I'm excited to find out.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know, Joyce knowing about Dawn, I just thought that was such a good scene. I love it that she just knows. And she had some sort of epiphany. And it was like,
I love that too.
Just, you know, all the crazy people are knowing there's something about Dawn. Her seems a little different.
I like the scene. I like how Dawn, or how Joyce explained it. She's like, it's just like a knowledge I have.
Yeah, and she's like, she feels, you know? It's so sweet. She's just like, she feels like mine. But she's not, is she?
Yeah, and she even asked Buffy, you know, she's like, we need to take care of her, right? You know, you know.
She says something.
And Buffy's like,
she says something about the world loving her like I love you, and she's important to the world, like Buffy's important to Joyce.
Right.
And I don't know, she's so benevolent and sweet about it, it just like gives me the chills. I really like it.
No, I liked it too.
It was just beautiful scene.
I thought it was,
and
because
I love that she knew it, and she didn't have to be told that her daughter is not her daughter. You know what I mean? It was just so beautifully done that way, where it could have just been like an ugly, horrible scene to watch. It was beautiful because it came from Joyce, and she was fine with it, and it seemed weird because you could tell she still had the motherly feelings, but you know, it just was so good.
Well, I liked all that, and then I liked how she kept needing like assurance from Buffy, like, I'm supposed to feel this way, right?
Yeah,
you know,
and,
like,
you know, it probably is such a weird time for her because she's having all these weird feelings and her brain feels weird and she's having these.
Well, sure. I mean, this is a woman who just, you know, had the bejesus scared out of her, you know, thinking that she was probably going to die, you know, and leave her daughters. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's got to be scary. Can you imagine? No. You know? I mean, not knowing. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. When something happens in your brain, it's not good.
No, and she's, you know, she's having periods where she has these horrible headaches, and she knows kind of, she's saying weird things, but she can't control it. And, you know, she starts the conversation out. She's like, just tell me if I'm just being crazy, Mom, but, you know, I've had these feelings.
Right.
So she's just so confused, but she just, I don't know, it's so good.
I like the way she put it. She put it as it's not like a memory I have. It's just like a knowledge I feel I'm having. Or, you know, she puts it something like that. And no, I thought that was a really cool scene too. That, and I like that Joyce knows.
I love that Joyce knows. Yeah, it, you know, yeah. As a,
I like that it's not just all on Buffy. Mm-hmm.
And that Giles. Would be a big stressor if I was Buffy, that my mom doesn't know that this girl she's raising isn't even her daughter and that these are found memories. Because that's, you know, a mother-daughter relationship is, you know, one of the biggest deals on Earth. You know, it's one of the biggest relationships you could ever have as a parent-child, not just mother-daughter. A parent-child relationship is... That's
one of the most important relationships you
right,
have.
Right, to the mother and the daughter. And so, you know, thinking about that, that could just be such a huge weight on Buffy. Not wanting her to know, or just wondering if she's going to find out, or what if I have to tell her this.
Right. And for Joyce to come up with it on her own and ask Buffy, you know, that's huge.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I liked it a lot. I really did. I liked how it happened. It didn't seem forced or, I don't know. I liked how Joyce put it. I liked how she's like, you know, how she worded it. She's like, it's just like something I felt like a knowledge I suddenly knew. She's like, Dawn's not mine, right? You know, but
she feels like mine. It's just really sweet.
But she feels like mine, and we're supposed to take care of her, right? And, you know, Buffy's like, yes, you know. I thought that was a really cool scene.
Yep.
I liked it a lot.
I don't know. I just don't think it's a terrible episode.
No, I really don't either.
I think it gets... the short end of the stick.
I mean, 22 out of 22. That just seems weird to me. And that's because of the stupid trilobite demon, right?
I can only imagine. It's weird. I'm not a sci-fi fantasy person. And so I think maybe sci-fi fantasy lovers maybe watch Buffy with kind of a different angle than I do. And it is weird. I mean, Buffy's usually... There's no aliens in Buffy. It's so that might really bother people. Doesn't bother me. The demon was weird, but he was practical and not CGI, which I think I kind of like. I always kind of like practical because CGI can be a little weird.
Right.
But I think these little things... can really bother like a fantasy person. Do you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, Buffy's fantasy, not why are we bringing aliens into this? And then it just becomes a huge deal to someone. Where, you know, that rolls off my back like nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, I see myself as a little bit of a sci-fi fantasy True. Person, and it didn't bother me. I mean, I thought the alien was stupid.
Sure. Oh, and I'm not going to contest that for 1 minute. And the storyline about it is weird.
It certainly didn't ruin the episode because I thought all of the human stuff was way better. You know, Spike in the basement, come on. You know, Giles calling it the killer snot monster from outer space.
Yes.
And I don't know, the Joyce crazy stuff, that was awesome. I don't know.
The acting was so good in that. It was just, and the writing, it was good. It was a scary moment.
Yeah, it was. And it didn't matter to me. I mean, yeah, the alien was a bad alien, but. There was so much more to it to me. I mean, 22 out of 22, really. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. although this is a great season with a lot of great episodes. You know, this
I
isn't
guess
season
so.
Four.
I know.
Or season one. My overall sentiments of the show right now are that it's gotten so compelling to me. You know, it's compelling and good, and the characters are so rich. You know, to compare it to season one, it's just like, well, they just seem like almost like two different shows. Where
right.
the bad, you know, a bad alien like this in season one would have been so different. But the characters have just
right.
been through so much, and we're invested in them so much right now. And it's compelling that, you know, and I'm speaking for everybody, perhaps, but so, you know. Substitute all that with I. It's all so compelling to me that these little things just aren't that important anymore. Because everything else is so much better. Like, you know, what we've said.
Right, right. No, I agree. It's, you know, it's like people hating The Walking Dead now because, you know, the zombies are almost non-existent or,
yeah.
you know, or when there are zombies, you know, they're so easy to kill and stuff, and it's all about the people. It's like, well, of course it's all about the people.
And, you know, I can't...
They're the ones that are alive, of course.
And I can't begrudge people for watching it for that stuff, and for watching Buffy for that stuff. It's just, it's different than the way I watch it.
Well, to me, if that's what you're into, then watch a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
'Cause if you think a 7-season show can rely on the monsters, well, then the show isn't for
right.
you.
Agreed.
It's got to be about the people.
Right.
Anyway. All right, so Into the Woods.
So this is 18th best. And ranked number 108 in the Buffy lineup of episodes. Most important thing about this episode...
No more
Riley's
ready.
Gone.
Yay.
I think for that merit alone, it's number 18.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, at the beginning of the episode, we can get done with the Joy stuff now. They were able to get it all. I love
right.
all the Scoobies waiting with Buffy supporting her. That was awesome. It was a long surgery, and they were all there sitting with her. I like that part of culture, that someone's in the hospital in the surgery, you're just there. And you see it a lot, and I don't know. It's a very touching thing to me. To take time out of your own day to just be support.
Right, right.
So, you know, good job, Scoops. Okay, so Dawn goes to be with Xander and Anya. So Riley and Buffy can be alone. And have that dumb little swaying to that dumb song. Sorry, everybody. But that just seemed like such a Buffy song.
And I did love how much Anya wanted to see the chimp playing hockey.
Oh my gosh. You know, in the Wikipedia, during this time, there was a movie like that.
Oh, really?
Let me see what it was called. But it was, that was a real movie out at the time. Which makes it funnier.
Because my first note is, haha, I love how much Anya wants to see the chimp playing hockey movie. And then my next note is, oh no, please no. No Buffy, Riley, and Sexy, please.
You got one. Wasn't too long, though.
And then I...
It was Know Where the Wild Things Are.
Then in parentheses I put, I hope Spike is under the bed or in the closet. And I'm like, nope, he's outside.
He was outside, and that was really sad.
It was. But then it served a purpose. He followed Riley.
Yeah, he was out there and he sees Riley sneaking out. He's like, what's going on here?
Yeah. I love Spike's face when... So he sinks back into Buffy's room and he's like, you're naked under there.
Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah.
I just love his face when he turns around so she can get dressed. He's like, oh.
He's like, yeah, right. Like, I care about
like,
that.
I care.
He turns around. Oh.
It's like Homer with some donuts. And then I'm like, why did Riley stake Spike with a plastic stake? Like, really? What? And he's like, ooh, plastic stake with wood grain.
Well, I can tell you why I think he did. I think he was just exercising some sort of power he doesn't have over Spike.
I guess so. It was so stupid, though.
It was such a production that just seemed
seriously.
Obviously just kind of sad.
I mean, why not just kill him? I think Harold even said that in his feedback. It's like, why not
and
just kill
yourself
him?
As the most hated character.
As
the character that killed Spike. That is not going to win you many points.
I mean, seriously, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But I do like how they sit down and have a drink together and talk about Buffy. Little comrades.
I did like that scene. I like how Spike was like... He kind of waffled between, I'm the lucky one, and you're the lucky one, you know.
He's like, well, I'd rather, you know, be where I am and have her than you, where, you know, you have her, but... And then he, like, starts talking about them being together, and he's like, never mind.
He's like, well, you're the lucky one. Never mind.
Nope. You're the one that's got it good. That was cute.
It was cute, and I like how they threw the bottle back and forth between each other.
Yeah, just one of those little, we're enemies, but we're going to sit and talk about a girl for a minute that we both like. It was a good male bonding.
It was good.
That, you know, just bonding over something they have in common, setting aside the fact that someone just pretended to stake the other one.
I know.
Right. Yeah, this is the one where Riley's got his shirt off. So, are they? Is it like, just like vampire crack whores? I guess. Is. Are they trying to look at it as more of a drug thing with him or more of like a gross,
I don't
slimy
know.
Prostitute Cause... thing? It's kind of both.
I don't know. Because I'm like... So why did the vamp chick Riley was with like look like this malnourished heroin chic? You know,
because it was obviously a metaphor for a crack den, and so they tried to make the vampires look that way. But
right, but aren't they? It seems like they're feeding more than other vampires.
More
I mean,
than Spike.
I mean, she. I know. I mean, she's like getting human blood every night.
It doesn't make any sense.
Shouldn't she be like Wonder Woman, you know, and not vampire chic heroine girl? I don't know.
She should be. For the purpose of the storytelling, she needs to look like a crack whore.
And then I have, because Oh man, that scene between Riley and Buffy, where he's like, how the vampire horse need
oh
him.
My gosh.
Seriously? Is he really trying to make Buffy feel bad about this? Somehow feel sorry for him?
It's horrible. And I can't believe that he started that down that road because of Dracula.
Hell no.
That is the stupidest excuse I've ever heard in my life. Buffy was being, what was it called? Glamored.
Like glamored.
And it only happened once. That was the stupidest excuse, that is what set him off. And yep. That's the excuse he used. That just made me so angry. He made me angry in that episode how jealous he was in the first place. But it really got to him, and it really did, and that is so stupid to me.
Oh, it's so stupid.
What an idiot.
And then to put it on her, like, you made me do this, types, you know.
These vampires needed me in a way you never have.
Oh my gosh.
And she just says the greatest stuff. She's just like, you are not comparing me to them. You're just a snack to them. It just, yeah.
Because it's true. I mean, he's making it sound like these vampires would die if it was not for, I don't know. I couldn't believe the comparison he was trying to make.
Oh, it was awful. And then an ultimatum. I love the way, the way Buffy reacts is so great. And so it's so undercut that the stupid guilt trip from Xander makes her run to Riley. Pisses me off.
I know. It pissed me off, too.
Yeah, like Val said, shut up, Xander. You can't think that I don't know. Why is Xander fighting for this relationship so hard for her? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. What I wrote down is, Riley is the once in a lifetime guy, Xander? I don't think so. Why do you like Riley so much? it's like, you explain it to me, because I don't get it. I don't, that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, before that, I have, because Riley was like, hit me, just hit me. And I was like, hit him, Buffy, do it for all of us.
And don't hold back this time. Throw him across the room. She's like, oh, so I need to get over this right now? I just found out about
right.
it, and you expect me to get over it and forgive you right now, or you're going to leave? No. I don't know. I thought about, when I was dating Rob, before we dated, I had plans to move to New York. And we started dating. And my plans were in January, and this was that fall. And he fell in love with me. I didn't fall in love with him, but we got fairly serious. But he was way more serious than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where it's time for me to go. And it was like, gee, if I stay here, it's like I have to marry him, And I was not there in
right.
one little bit. And he didn't give me one ultimatum. He said, I'll be here for you. I'll be here when you get back. And what did I do? I went home and married him. I was there as long as I wanted to be.
You still went to New York.
Of course I did.
You still did,
I had plans, and like I said, if I was going to stay, it'd be like I was staying for him, and I'd have to marry him or something,
right.
And I was not in that spot. And so I went, and he didn't give me ultimatums. He didn't make me feel guilty. He said, I'm going to be here waiting for you.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it in a guilty way. It was, I'm in love with you, and I'm here.
What, he didn't say, Emily, you need to choose between New York and
I'm
me.
I'm going
to
go get sucked on by vampires until because you don't love me like I love you. Nope, and I married him. He was a keeper.
Exactly. Ugh. I just hated the end of this episode so much. I hated everything that they did.
You gotta have liked Buffy's boom, 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 staking of the vampires. That was so sweet.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, my notes are nice moves. I'm so glad Buffy did that by herself and Riley didn't come out and help. And then I've got nice javelin.
Yeah, well, my note is, good idea, vampire, to attack the Slayer with a large pointy wooden stick, which didn't have any. The dumbest move ever. And anyway, she wailed on those guys. And the javelin thing was awesome. But then I get so pissed right off the bat with Xander because he was like, oh, you feel better now? It's not like she went looking for trouble. She didn't. Yeah. She wasn't pissed off and was like, I need to find some vamps to kill. No, she just walked out and she got cornered and attacked and she fought him. But he made it sound like
that she was out looking for trouble. Mm-hmm. It made me mad too because
he had no business saying that because he would have if she had gone looking for trouble. But Buffy got cornered and he's like all upset that she did it so well. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, because to me, that was just like, she just kicked ass.
She did.
I mean,
I don't know.
She had moves and was, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, that's what you want to see in a Slayer, right?
Exactly. He should have high-fived her and said, wow.
Exactly. He should have been impressed.
Amazing. Steady berates her. It's so stupid.
It is, and I was kind of confused because there's a scene before any of this happens where, like, Anya wants him to do something, and he's like, I've got something else to do. It's like he's already kind of on her case.
Yeah, that's right. She wanted to make their own sexcapades. And he's like, I've got something to do.
I've got something else to do, and
I didn't think about that, and so maybe he felt bad blowing her off when in the middle of his speech to Buffy, and it was like, wow, I blew Xania or Anya off. Xania, that must be their little shipping name. you know, I blew her off, and I shouldn't have, but I don't know. It's like the writers wanted that stuff said, so Buffy would go running, but it just
It didn't work for me at all.
Like I said, it made him just sound sanctimonious.
It did. And, you know, I get the idea that he's really talking about himself and Anya, and it kind of pays off at the end when, you know, he goes to Anya and tells her, you know, I really love you. I love everything about you. That was a very sweet scene.
I like that it just didn't turn into anything other than just, I just thought you should know that, you know? It wasn't like a proposal, and it wasn't like a big, the first I love you.
Right.
It was just, I feel like I just need to tell you these in those words. There.
But him saying all that to Buffy, I didn't.
He seems like really personally affected that Buffy's mad at Riley for what he did. And it's like, you know what? She has every right to be. She obviously doesn't love him as much as Riley loves her. And he just, the fact alone
that's
Riley gave her an ultimatum should really, and I disagree with Xander. I think that is a big red flag. And that's like, okay, you can go.
It's a huge red flag. I mean, why didn't they make Buffy strong enough to just let him go? That's,
I don't know.
Because, like, my next note is, please don't tell me they're going to make Buffy just miss him. And then I'm like, I can't believe they just
did
that.
Well, you know what? Buffy's history with men is that she isn't strong enough. She's weirdly, I mean, she's a great hero and she's a strong female, but she is weirdly dependent on men.
I know, and I guess I'm just getting
remember
sick of
Parker.
That.
I mean, the Parker thing was
true.
Horrible.
That's true.
I mean,
that was just a one night stand.
The Angel stuff you can almost excuse because he's like a one and only. You know, I know that they've set them up to be the soulmate thing.
Right. Right.
You know, they're not my favorite couple. Everyone knows that. But I can accept that more. But she just, when it comes to men, man, she's not the strong female you wish she was.
Yeah, and this proves that I really, that ending just really disappointed me. I really wish she was strong enough to just say, you know, screw you.
Well, she did so good in their confrontation.
I know. But why couldn't they have let Buffy just break up with him and let him go?
It would have just been so much stronger and better had she just said, you know what,
yep.
Screw you, Xander. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going home.
Yep.
I'm going to go home and see my mom.
Exactly. I'm going to go
She's
home
sick.
And well, and celebrate that my mom's
yes.
okay.
Yes.
You know.
Instead of my boyfriend letting me do that, this is what I get.
Yeah, I mean...
How fitting for how he's been.
Exactly. I really hope the next episode opens with the Scoobies telling Buffy how much they all really hated Riley all along.
Now that he's gone, I feel safe and sane, but he was the worst.
We really didn't like him.
I only have to say that, you know, as much as I'm glad that he didn't see Buffy, who in the world is waiting and waiting for their girlfriend to come running and she doesn't? Who in the world does not look back just one more time while you're taking off and look to see? Wouldn't you just watch that horizon until it was out of sight?
Absolutely.
There's no way you wouldn't look back.
I just know. I know Buffy. And I'm going to guess it doesn't last too long, but man, the next couple episodes is going to be her all boo.
Do you think it'll last longer than the Parker thing or shorter?
I'm going to have to say shorter only based on how much you like season 5. I think she's going to get over it pretty quick, but I think I'm going to have an episode or two where she's kind of broody, and I don't know, maybe Angel will come and kick her ass. I don't know. But I can't imagine, there's no way you like season 5 as much if she's just now all broody about Riley, because good lord.
Yeah.
Get
Fair
over
enough.
It. All right, so do you want to know my likes about this one?
Yes, I didn't do mine, so I'm glad you did so.
I did.
I forgot.
Okay, so my likes are Spike breaking into Buffy's house to smell her clothes and go through her basement. I liked Crazy Joyce. I really liked the Scoobies leaving Riley alone in the woods. That just said so much to me that they're like, okay, you stay here.
Almost as much as how Spike's coat has a better backstory than Riley.
Yeah, it's like, you stay here. We have no idea what killed this guy, but you stay. Riley finally leaving the show and Buffy killing all those vampires.
Good things. I like all those things, too.
My dislikes were Riley staking Spike with the plastic stake. What was the point? No one seeing that alien thing.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor letting Joyce leave the hospital.
Yep.
And Buffy not breaking up with Riley and just letting him go. That just really pissed me off.
Yep. Agree with those two. All right. Good. So that was not the strongest stretch of season 5.
Nope.
But it's done. In fact, I guess that's the weakest stretch of season 5. And it's not that bad.
Good. It's really not.
Well, in that episode, we saw three, all of them were in the bottom 5.
That's true. And, you know, as a whole, I've got my problems, but, I mean, they all, like, moved the story along.
Right, and they all had their good parts. They certainly weren't excruciating to watch. They were interesting.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I didn't, none of them was I like, oh my god, when is this going to be over? Not like I was with the Shroud of Ramon. So, no, I enjoyed them. I actually
I
did.
Do too. I'm not a hater on any of them. But I love season 5. I do.
But I will say that knowing that the worst is behind me is awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
Because now I feel like I got over those shots.
And you did well. Wasn't too bad. There was no Wild Things so Are and Beer Bad.
Exactly.
Which I think are the bottom 2 of season 4. All right, next time. Now, I say next time loosely, because the way I've done this is we're going to have 2 Angel podcasts until we get back to Buffy.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, you can watch these. Actually, you can watch 3 of them. We're going to watch 4. Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, so I need to do next Buffy's. Okay.
You're going to watch Triangle. Such a funny name for this episode. Weird. Okay. Checkpoint, Blood Ties, and Crush. And you can watch the first 3 tonight if you want to, but you may not watch Crush until you're caught up with Angel.
Okay.
And I mean the 2 podcasts we're going to be doing. Okay, so.
So the Angels meaning like, Reunited or, Trial.
Yes, yeah. So there's those 3, right? That I've given you for the Angel side. And then there's going to be another little grouping of 3 or 4.
Okay.
But you can watch the other 3 of Buffy, but you can't watch Crush until you've watched
all the Angels.
You don't have to podcast about all the Angels, but you have to have watched them. And of course you can't watch later Angel episodes until you've podcasted about the other ones, so, you know.
Gotcha.
You've got a good week before you can watch Crush.
Gotcha.
Any thoughts on the titles?
No, not really. I mean, Checkpoint. Is that a chess term? Is that a chess game?
I don't think so. Well, it's not a spoiler. It's not about
chess.
I don't know if it's a. I don't. It doesn't.
Am I thinking it?
Checkmate. Yeah.
Blood Ties. I don't know. I want to think that has something to do with Dawn learns that she's really not Joyce's daughter or something. Triangle.
I will say that is a very obscure title.
Yeah, I don't know. And Crush, I want to say, I mean, to me, that obviously has something to do with, like, Spike and Buffy. So.
Or there could be a giant monster that comes, Crush!
Or there's like a, yeah, like a Hulk crash. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, these titles aren't doing much for me.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Contact us. Get on Facebook. Gmail us.
Write to us at yesmotherpodcast@gmail.com.
Or yesmotherpodcast on Facebook or Sue Watches Buffy. All right. Chill your own asses.
Chill your own ass. We're out. See ya.
See you.